Today, I'm proclaiming the word of God from the epistle, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we receive your word today, fill us with your Holy Spirit so that we may live with the joy of Christmas. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's fair to say that the imagery of Christmas is the imagery of humility. So at Christmas, our attention is focused on a little baby. In fact, a tiny infant. A tiny infant that needs to be wrapped in bands of cloth to be comforted by its mother. A tiny infant that needs to be soothed with words. And a tiny infant lying in a manger, a food trough for animals. You can't get much more of a picture of human powerlessness and obscurity than this. The imagery of Christmas is the imagery of humility. Let's keep this imagery in mind as we hear today's reading from Hebrews, and let's receive what God's word has to say about this child. The good news is that Jesus, a real human being, born of Mary, once a little child in need, now reigns at the right hand of the Father and lives to bring us to the Father and to grow us in love for one another. Well, here's how our reading from the book of Hebrews starts. Long ago, God spoke to our ancestors in many and various ways by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by a son. Now, if you read the Old Testament, it's clear that God spoke to his people of the Old Testament in many and indeed various ways. Think about how God spoke to Abraham, for example. He took him outside and showed him the night sky and the uncountable number of stars. God promised Abraham that his descendants would be more than these stars, and God speaking with his word and also through creation. I think of God speaking also through the plagues in Egypt, or speaking with his power as he rescued his people from slavery and from Egypt. I think of God also speaking to his people by giving them his commands and giving them his instructions for worship, or leading them through indeed into the new promised land. Think of God speaking to the prophets with words, with visions, and even in strange ways, like the prophet Hosea marrying a harlot. Surprising, and yet God speaking. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people. But now the writer of Hebrews says, God has spoken to us through a son. We are now seeing God in the flesh speaking to us. The text says, in fact, that he's spoken in these last days. That means that God now has spoken definitively, with nothing more to say that we need to hear as human beings. Now, what it means that Jesus is the Son of God is then spelt out for us in a series of short statements that build to a crescendo. And today, let's just go through them briefly, one by one. Here's the first one. The Son is the one whom God appointed heir of all things. So, the Son, through whom God has spoken definitively, is the heir, and there's nothing surprising about the Son being an heir. We are familiar with that in this world. But the writer to the Hebrews says that this Son is the heir of all things, of all that is in creation, visible and invisible. All these things belong to the Son. Now again, let us remember the humility of Christ in his birth, being cared for by his mum. It's this one who is the heir of all things. This is what Scripture is saying to us and inviting us to meditate upon. Indeed, this might in some respects offend our reason. But it is an invitation to a mystery that moves our hearts and draws us into the presence of God. The infant Jesus, held in his mother's arms, he is the heir of all things. Hebrews then says that this son is the one through whom God also created the worlds. So it's not just that Christ is the heir of all things, but in fact it was through him that all things were made. We heard this, of course, in our gospel reading today from John. There St. John said, all things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. So the Son, in other words, is not part of creation, just another thing in the created order. And sometimes we can have the erroneous idea that God could possibly just be another thing like a tree or a dog or a star. Something else is going on with God. It's a word we use to describe that which is uncreated. Jesus himself is an uncreated one. Through him, the writer of Hebrews says, all things were created. And again, let's keep the contrast in mind. The infant Jesus lying in the manger. Scripture says, this is the one through whom all things were made. This is what we hear next. The Son is the reflection of God's glory. And reflection, as an English word, is perhaps a weak translation for the Greek at this point. The Son is the radiance or the refulgence of God's glory. God's glory shining forth through the Son. And again, this is what we heard in our gospel reading today. And the Word became flesh, St. John said, and lived among us, tabernacled among us. This is a way of speaking of God's glory with us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. To see the Son, that is to see the glory of the Father. In fact, Hebrews goes on to say that the Son is the exact imprint of God's very being. Now think of the imprint that is made on a coin when it is struck, when it is minted. That's the image to have in mind to understand what God's word is saying at this point. The Son is the exact imprint of the Father, shows us who the Father is. And this is worth pausing on, because sometimes as human beings, we can be angry at God. In fact, it seems to me, being angry at God is the human default position. As we think about God and the injustices in this world, and perhaps the suffering in our own life, we can be angry at God and the hand that we have been dealt, or the mess that the world is in. But Scripture is saying, when we are angry at God, look at Christ Jesus. He is the one who reveals who God truly is, the one who shows us the love of the Father. And again, this is a mystery, but it's through this mystery that God draws us to himself, that this little baby who needed to be soothed by the words of his mother is the one who soothes us and brings us close to the heart of the Father. This is God's work for us, because the Son shows us exactly what God is like. Now, in case we get the idea that Jesus being the exact imprint of the Father means that he's somehow less than the Father, we hear this word about what Jesus does. So Hebrews says, he sustains all things by his powerful word. Sometimes we can have the idea that, well, there might be a God who then started things in the beginning but now leaves the world running as he wills. This is not what Scripture teaches. In fact, here again, what Hebrews says. His Son sustains all things by his powerful word. So here we are now, sustained in life. Sustained, Scripture says, by the powerful word of the Son. And again, the Son who is comforted by the words of his mother sustains us, Scripture says, by his powerful word. It is he who holds creation together. It's at this point that we reach the crescendo of this opening of Hebrews, that we reach the high point of the revelation of the mystery. And the high point is the low point of the cross. This is what we hear. When he had made purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. Having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. When he had made purification for sins, the book of Hebrews says. As you read through this book, it's very clear what they are talking about. It's Jesus taking on the path of the cross, offering himself as the true sacrifice that reconciles us to the Father, shedding his blood, blood that cleanses us from our sins, so that we can draw near to our Father with a true heart, as we heard earlier in today's liturgy. And through this, the writer of the Hebrews says, God is exalted, the Lord Jesus is exalted to the right hand of the Father. This is an allusion, by the way, to Psalm 110, where we read these words. The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. The right hand of God is the place of authority and victory. And the enemies that Christ has conquered are the enemies of sin, of death, and of hell. Today, on Christmas Day, we do indeed think about the humility of the Lord Jesus, of his littleness, of his need. But we look at him also hearing the word of God, and therefore seeing with the eyes of faith. And we see that this little child reveals to us who God is. He is the one who is the heir of all things, the one through whom all things were made, the one who is the exact imprint of the Father, the one who reigns at the Father's right hand after having made purification for our sins. This is what we celebrate on Christmas, who our Lord Jesus Christ is and the path that he will take for us. So today, let us receive this message and the mystery of this message. And let us, like Mary, assent to it. And let us therefore be drawn near to God our Father, and by this also be drawn near to one another, as we share in the love which God first gave us. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds, safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.